suffering the punishment of eternal fire. Now, think of this for a moment. Three illustrations have been given about Israel and God dealing with them when they sinned. We have also Sodom and Gomorrah. We have angels. We have the severity of God dealing with even those that are nearest Him and chosen of Him when they sinned. And so now, look at verse 8. Yet, in like manner, these also. God is telling us that in spite of all these warnings that have been given, now verse 8, yet, in like manner, these also in their dreamings defile the flesh and set it no dominion and rail at dignities. But Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these rail at whatsoever things they know not, and what they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason, in these things are they destroyed. That's all we'll read for tonight. What God has done for us here is to give us extreme examples of the goodness and severity of God. He tells us the times of mercy when those who deserve nothing but judgment were showered with mercy. And then he warns us also that those who receive his mercy, if they do not abide in it and are faithful to it, then God deals with them in severity. I told you last week in a meeting past about God who saved the people after he would destroy them that believe not, that this is not spiritual destruction. He saved them physically out of Egypt, and then they all died in the wilderness. Once we have eternal life, we never perish. We pass from death unto life. But notice that even though God in his mercy delivered the slaves out of Egypt, when they sinned, God said, instead of getting to the promised land, the blessing on earth, you're going to die in the wilderness. The goodness and severity of God, and angels that were near God in heaven, when they sinned, when they were on earth and sinned, God dealt with them in like manner. He cast them down to pit of darkness at the judgment of the great day, and this, Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities that sinned and God was so long-suffering in letting them remain unjudged, yet finally the fire of God fell from heaven. So having told us these things about his goodness and severity, he is telling about some that are leaders in the Christian church and are part of the Christian church that have no regard to God's dealing with angels and men and nations in the past. No matter that God has pointed out what happens to those that sin against him, look at verse 8 now. It says, yet, in spite of all these warnings, in like manner, these also in their dreaming defile the flesh. Now, right, there are three things that are spoken of that these do, and they're similar if you want to compare the three things that I told you about angels and Sodom and Gomorrah and Israel being free of slaves from Egypt. It says, yet in like manner, these also in their dreaming defile the flesh. Now, what could this possibly mean? In their dreaming defile the flesh. What is so remarkable is that when you read of dreaming in the Bible, It's not like one that daydreams. It's not like one who imagines certain things. Like someone who said, in my wildest dreams, I never felt. But what is referred to is the way that God, in the past, has communicated with men. God would communicate in dreams. I'll bring something to your attention that probably you'll remember. How was it that God informed Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, how did God inform him about the condition of Mary, as he called, who say, in a dream? Let me ask you this. How did Pharaoh learn about the famine that was going to come upon the land of Egypt? He say he had a dream. Yes. And this is what I want you to see. Turn to Numbers 14, please. Numbers 14. 12, first of all. Numbers 12, first of all. And verse 6. This is God speaking, and he says, hear now my word. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream. You see? God did dream, and he makes his will known to some in dreams. There is one exception. Look at verse 7. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. So, with most of the prophets that God is speaking about here, he would speak to them in dreams. Keeping that in mind, turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. 53. And look at verse 25. I have heard what the prophets have said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies, even the prophets of the deceit of their own self, that think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers forget my name for theirs. These are all the illustrations I have to give you. They're more. But understand that God legitimately gave dreams to those in the Old Testament. I just mentioned two more. You remember when Jacob left home to get a wife? You'll find that he lay down and he went to sleep and he had this dream. And he saw a ladder that united earth with heaven. And then he woke up, he understood that God was speaking to him in that dream. The Lord Jesus spoke about that ladder in John chapter 1. And then Joseph, the dreamer, God gave him dreams. And he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. And this was God's way of telling Joseph that someday he was going to be the most exalted one among all the families of Israel. Now, turn back to Jude. Seeing that, what happened is these false prophets, yet in like manner, these also in their dreaming, and I read to you in Jeremiah, and they come and say, I have dreamed, I have dreamed, and this dream is a lie, and they dream up the things that they want to pretend come from God. But they have nothing to do with God. It says they dream these dreams that they may lead my people astray. And let me give you an illustration. If you think of that, you will discover that many of the false sects and many of the false groups of professed Christian people have those that say, I see visions, I have dreams, and God has told me this. In fact, if you want to believe it, Oral Roberts said that he saw, and here is Christ telling him to collect millions of dollars. And what happens, I'm afraid, is that they dream up dreams out of their own heart. And they use these dreams to deceive the people of God. And do you realize that whereas God in the beginning, well, he, Adam, you'll find that when the Mormons came along, they wanted to endorse polygamy, and so they say they get this message from God saying, take many wives. And so what happens is that if we want to impress the people, we dream dreams, and I say, God has sent me a dream. Give me all the money that you've saved. And God has dreamed dreams, and God is telling me to indulge in the lust of the flesh. And that is what the Mormons have said about many wives, whereas God says one, and also for Robert and others, if you believe them, fine. If not, you believe that just as in the Old Testament, they have dreamed dreams, and they use these dreams to influence the people of God. Now, these false teachers and professed Christians that have infiltrated the church, they come and they tell the church of their dreamings, and they tell them that there is free love, that we are permitted to commit fornication. They will tell all of these lies for this reason. Look, it says, in their dreamings, defile the flesh. All right. Look at verse 7. It says, these have gone after strange flesh. So the very thing that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, these wicked teachers dream dreams and try to endure this defilement of the flesh in the dreams that they have. But God says, no. God says, you shall be holy as I am holy. God wants his people pure. But they pretend to have had dreams, and God reveals these things to them. And any dream that God gives you that defiles the flesh, that destroys your sanctity, this dream did not come from God. It is a lie. See, all right. It says, and they set at naught dominion and rail at dignity. If you're going to balance out verse 8 with what we have, verses 5 through 7, we notice that you have the defilement of the flesh. You'll find an illustration of that in Sodom and Gomorrah. It says they despise dominion. They set at naught dominion. You'll find that these angelic beings that were in heaven, they despised the dominion of God. They left their proper habitation. And then it says they rail or they set at naught dignity. And this is what you will find in Numbers chapter 14. Now turn to that. Numbers 14. And look at verse 11. You would think that if God miraculously delivered you from slavery out of Egypt, that his dominion, his law would be absolute. But it says in verse 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me for all the signs which I have wrought among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. Now, look at verse 27. Verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation that murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. And here is God himself, and he is being railed at, and murmured at, and complained at by these Israelites. And so we have examples in the Old Testament, and what happens is that rather than learn from these examples, these evil ones that have infiltrated the church are practicing the same evil sin. Alright. Having given bad examples, that these evil teachers and professed Christians have followed, look at verse 9 of a good example. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil who disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And so today this is what I find, that there is little parental respect. There is little respect for love and order. you'll find that everybody is as good as everybody else. But this is not illustrated by even the angel, Archangel Michael, when one sinned against God, when he was in dispute, rather than bring a railing accusation against him, he said, "The Lord rebuked thee." So this is a lesson for us today. Rather than lash out with our evil heart, expressing our sentiment and our anger and our jealousy and any other thing that's in our heart, we should reverently say, "The Lord deal with you. I'm simply telling you that what you're doing is wrong. The Lord deal with you." And then if necessary, if you know a particular sin that's been committed, you can tell them, "What is my sin? What is my fault?" And when Samuel spoke to the children of Israel, he said, "Tell me anything I've ever done wrong." He said, "You've done nothing wrong." But in the case of David and Bathsheba, in the case of Achan, who stole the wedge of gold and the goodly Babylonish garment, then you would have to tell them the sins that they committed. But you do it in a way that is not railing. It is not a loose accusation, a baseless accusation. But you do it in an orderly manner, like Michael did when contending with the devil about the body of Moses. Now, does any brother know where this contention over the body of Moses took place? Or what is being spoken about? Well, I do not know either, and neither does anyone else, because you do not find it in the Word of God. It's like this. Did you know that Jannes and Jambres were the ones that Moses was contending with in Egypt before the children of Israel were freed? You say, "No, I didn't know that." God waits until New Testament times to tell us their names. Now, in like manner, there are some events that took place in the Old Testament that God has not fully recorded, but under inspiration, he tells us about them in the New Testament. I challenge you to tell me where in the Gospels, you may give me any Gospel record you please, that the Lord Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Can you think of one? Nowhere in the Gospel. But Paul tells us, when he is speaking to his followers, that the Lord Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So, not everything is given us in the Old Testament that occurs in the Old Testament. And not everything that the Lord Jesus said and did in the Gospel is given us in the Gospel. But other things at a later time are brought to our attention. So what we know for sure is that somewhere in the history of the Old Testament that the devil wanted the body of Moses and Michael, the archangel, refused to let him have it. And the only reason that I can see, according to the examples we have in the Bible, about this contention over the body of Moses, was that the fear that if the body of Moses were taken by the Israelites, that it would be a form of idolatry. The greatest prophet that ever lived was Moses. The Bible says there was no prophet like him before nor after, the greatest of prophets. And what probably would happen was what happened to the brazen serpent that Moses lifted in the wilderness. This serpent was taken by the children of Israel and turned into an idol. How much more Moses who forged that brazen serpent and lifted it up. And so because of that, the grave site of Moses was never made known to the children of Israel. And if Satan did know where it was, and he wanted that body, to take that body that God had given and give it to the children of Israel, that as they worship the golden calf, they could worship the body of the leader who brought them out of Egypt, Michael contended with Satan and refused to surrender that body to him, and said, "The Lord rebuked me." He was prepared to let the judgment of God take place in Satan's life. And so this is an encouragement and an example to us. There's some authority that we have, that beginning out with railing accusations, and then with an imperious demeanor, go and carry out the will of God. At times you speak the truth in love, you speak it firmly, but at the same time, you must remember that God is the final judge, and you say, the Lord deals with you, the Lord rebukes you, the Lord brings judgment upon you. And then Michael, the highest of the archangels, he dared not bring a railing judgment against you. If he, in that highest position, would not do it, how much less do we have any authority to do so? So let us have respect, even when we are dealing in judgment with the children of men. All right. Look at verse 10. I've just shown you in verse 8 how they lie by pretending they've had dreams so that they can defile the flesh. It's not that they say, God has told us not to, but we're going to do it anyway. They have lying dreams, and they say, God in a dream told me that I was to defile the flesh. Lies. Iniquitous lies. And also, they despise dominion, and they rail at dignity. All right. What does it mean, they rail at dignity? If you look at this word as it's used in the New Testament, you will find that certain words are used of angelic beings. And I think I'll show you one. Don't lose your faith, but turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see an example. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 20. Speaking about Christ being raised from the dead and made to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Now, these are different designations of the classes of angels in heaven. Not all angels are the same. We just heard about Michael the archangel. There are seven angels that are present angels. Gabriel said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And in the book of Revelation, you'll find that he is one of seven angels. And these angelic beings, and some of them left their proper habitation, some of these angelic beings are called powers, some authorities, some rulers, some dominions. These are various names. All right. Now, back to Jude. And it says, yet in like manner, but these, verse 10, but these rail at whatsoever things they know not. All right. Here are two spiritual beings, Michael and the devil. And Michael does not rail at Satan, but he says, the Lord will use thee. But it says in verse 10, these rail at whatsoever things they know not. Think of the absurdity of their actions. Here is the spiritual world about which they know nothing. And yet they are railing at all of these spiritual beings. There are those who will tell you all about the spiritual beings. They will tell you that there are no spiritual beings. But here it says, they rail at whatsoever things they know not. Remember that the world so often is saying things, accusing the unseen world, giving pronouncements about the unseen world about which they know nothing. That's what it says in verse 10. These rail at whatsoever things they know not. And what they understand naturally, think. We have a supernatural revelation. We have divine illumination. And what we do is not what we do naturally. It speaks about our comparing scripture with scripture. We have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God guides us. But they naturally, without divine assistance, it says, they know not, and what they understand naturally, they speak again. But what they understand naturally is wrong, because you need a supernatural guidance to understand these spiritual things of which they are unfamiliar. And it says this, like the creatures without reason, and do things as they destroy. So I told you about the goodness and severity of God. The goodness of God is this, that He has let them continue so long. What would please me is that God would have seen any evil teachers like these that were coming in the church and destroy them before they came. Look at all of the corrupt charlatans that are thieves on television, taking money from the poor and telling lies, and that God would destroy them. But you will see that God has not done this. And God has not kept these charlatans from coming into church at the first and duping ever so many of the innocent members in the church. God has not done that. But this is what He tells us will eventually take place. It says that all of these things they do, they're wailing, they're bringing accusations about things that they know not, and all of their natural, untainted interpretations of life and religion, it says all of these things are going to bring destruction upon them. And so this is sad, that God waited ever so long before He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, the goodness of God ensures that until the iniquity of evil ones is full, His judgment does not fall. God says, your descendants, Abraham, are going to be in bondage such and such a length of time because the iniquity of the Amorites is not full. What does it mean? It means that God in His patience waits for the iniquity of the Amorites to become full, and then the judgment of God falls. And God gives miracle after miracle to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh hardened his heart, and so finally He sends the ultimate miracle, the judgment upon all the firstborn. But finally, after all of that patience, the judgment of God falls. And in like manner, all of these ungodly ones that God has tolerated, He has let them tell lies. He has let them tell about their dreams that they have dreamed and deceive the people of God. He has let them indulge in fornication and unclean acts of the flesh. He has let them rail at angelic beings. He has let them set aside all authority and say, we are our own rulers. We take orders from no one. You will find that eventually all of these things that they practice will bring destruction upon them, and it will bring destruction upon all the people of God. So this is the section 5 through 10. Now I desire you to know, I desire to put you in remembrance, and then He gives us all of these illustrations and the dire consequences. But in spite of that, these enter the church and repeat the same sins that caused the judgment of God to fall upon angels and Israel and Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what God would have us to take to heart is this, that if they in the past committed these sins in judgment of God, they did not escape it. And then, if those in the New Testament church committed these sins and did not escape, He wants us to know that if we today commit similar sins, we also shall not escape. So let's be sure that when men tell you what they heard from God, that we know that they did hear from God, it's like this. You heard it from God, but where do you find that recorded in the Scripture? And they are not able to tell you where it's recorded in the Scripture. And this is the thing that's so heartbreaking. You ask them about the message that they are giving from God. Where is it found in the Scripture? They say, I do not need the Word of God. God speaks to me directly. Well, that's remarkable. He's given us this inspired book, and so they do not need this book. And they say they are filled with the Spirit, and they have special wisdom. And I ask them where simple passages of Scripture are, and they do not know where they are, because they say, God communicates with me directly. But this is the key, that if their dreams and their teachings do not coincide with something that God has set forth in His Word, they are deceivers, they are lying dreams, like in those in the Old Testament, as unto those in the New Testament, and not unto us today. So, we know these things, we know them once for all, and now Jude is reminding us, let us take heed, do you take these things, lest we fall. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are sad to think of how much error is taught among the professed children of God, how much sin is indulged in and is justified by dreams and supposed revelations from God. Our Father, we are ashamed to think of these things, but we are glad that we have your word. You have told us that we are to contend for the faith, not for all delivered to the saints, and we are thankful that having had it delivered to us once for all, that we have once for all believed it, and the doctrines that we believed at the first are never to be changed. We are thankful that we know nothing but the blood of Christ that cleanses from sin. We know nothing but justification by faith that will take a man to heaven. And we are thankful that you told us this. And so let us beware, Father, for those that come and tell us of their dreams that will contradict the Holy Scripture. Those like the Mormon who would contradict, and those like the Mormon, and those like the ones that can be seen on our television set that are lying and telling us to give to them, whereas there may be needy ones in the world that need these funds. So, Father, let us not be deceived, but let us know the Scriptures, and let us contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.